we were to title this morning, we would call it, But God Spares His Own. But God Spares His Own. Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start reading in verse number 23. The disciples have asked Jesus what would be the sign of His coming and of the end of the age. And He goes through this whole list of things and goes through some of the worst conditions that we could imagine. And, you know, folks, we're living in an hour now that we've seen all these signs fulfilled. But He gets to something here in verse number 23, and I think when we've looked at it in kind of a different light, but I want to share how the Lord laid it on my heart last night. He says, Then if anyone says to you, Behold, here is the Christ, or the Messiah, or there He is, do not believe Him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, Behold, He is in the wilderness, do not go out, or Behold, He is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. May God add His blessing to His word this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. May God bless your hearts. You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open or look up here on the up on the wall here. He says, If anyone says to you, Behold, here is the Christ, or there He is, do not believe him. And He tells us that in the last days there would be false Christs and false prophets that would arise. And He says that they will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead. Now, I want to read the same, a parallel passage from this in Mark chapter 13, verses 21 through 23. It says, If anyone says to you, Behold, here is the Christ, or Behold, He is there, do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance. And I want to stop right there for a moment. What I shared with my wife last night is, as I knelt down beside the bed, I said, you know, I'm watching all these things that are happening, you know, with on the different news outlets with the election that's coming up. You know, we've got a primary here coming up in May, and then we have the general election, you know, probably one of the most important elections, if not the most important election in the history of this country coming up in November. And I've listened to all these folks just kind of go back and forth, and I've paid attention to whether it was the Democrat side, whether it was the Republican side. I've listened to all these guys just kind of go back and forth and back and forth. And then we had a former candidate stick his nose in some things here a few weeks ago, and I thought, you know, if he would have shown that kind of passion 4 years ago, that man would have been our president. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, instead of attacking the issues, instead of going after the issues, they're going after people. They're going, and all it is pandering. It's just pandering for votes. And I look at some of the comments that I've seen. I get messages, you know, whether it's a text message, whether it's a Facebook message, whatever. And I see all these things that people are saying. And I mean, it's just gotten bitter. It's filtered down from the top, and it's you know, filtered down to the bottom now. And people that once were, I mean, as close to each other as family, now they're arguing with each other about what about this candidate or about this candidate. And I told Crystal last night, I said, you know, I'm at a place right now, I don't know who to vote for. I really don't know what to do. I said, the one that I had hoped for, you know, the one that has stood on a platform, and I'm not trying to be political here today, I'm just trying to set a foundation for you for a few moments, but the one that I had the most hope for, the one that on the surface appeared to be the most conservative and the most Christian, has got to a point now where we can't even depend on his word. And I said, you know, I really don't know what to do. And I said, you know, the church, I'm looking at a lot of messages that are coming from Christians today, and I'm thinking, you know, the church is so confused right now as far as this whole thing with this election. Because you've got a segment here that is looking towards one guy, you've got another segment that's looking towards another guy, and you've got another segment that's looking towards another guy. And I hear people all the time talk about, well, we need a true Christian president. And yeah, I would love to see that, but let's face the reality, folks. Here in the United States of America, we live in probably the biggest melting pot on the planet. And the chances that you and I get somebody that's going to cater 100% to what we want, it's not going to happen. So the point is this. So many people are looking to man. And I'm not talking about people out in the world. They're looking to man enough. But I'm talking about, what about people in the church today? People in the church are looking to a candidate. They're looking to a man. They're looking to a woman to satisfy their needs. They think that if this individual gets elected, then this will happen, that need will be taken care of. Or if this individual is elected, that need will be taken care of. And the church has got their hope in the wrong place. We're looking at man thinking that man is going to solve the problem. You know, I shared here a couple weeks ago, and I referenced it again last week, 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. You know, we look at that, and people use that all the time, and they talk about the prayer for a nation. You got to read that in its context. He's not talking about a national revival. He's not talking about a national healing. He says, if my people, and then he says, I will heal their land. He doesn't say he's going to heal the nation. He says, I'm going to heal the land that belongs to my people. So who's he speaking of, and what is he speaking of? He's not speaking of the United States of America. He's speaking of that nation that's within the nations. He's speaking of that group that has that has risen up for the last 2,000 years. You go back to the early days of the church and you look at the individuals that God used to begin what we know today as the church. And I mean, it, just on its surface, it was something that should have never lasted. But some of these folks that were the worst of the worst in society, God used them, and 2,000 years later, I just wonder, you know, going back and looking at their lives and reading about the apostles and the different ones that God used to set up the church, going back, I'm looking forward to the day where we can sit down with each one of them and say, did you realize what kind of an impact you made? You know, folks, here's the thing. When God ordains something, it's going to thrive and it's going to succeed. When God's in charge, it's going to be all right. Now, you know, we look at what's going on here in America and we think, well, you know, this church or this country, we need good Christian leadership. And yes, we would love to see that. But the fact of the matter is, and I've shared with you guys, God's prophetic plan for the ages had to get to a day like today. This, what we see going on in the world, had to come. This wasn't some, and I don't believe it's something that can be reversed. I believe that even before we finish today, the trumpet could sound and Jesus Christ could come back and rapture his church. I believe that. I am absolutely convinced that in my lifetime that Jesus Christ is going to come back for his church. But in the meantime, why, oh, why are we looking at an individual for our salvation? Why are we looking, and I'm talking about an individual of flesh and blood. Why are we looking at a man or a woman for our salvation? Our hope is not dependent on what goes on Capitol Hill. Our hope is not dependent on what goes on at the White House. You know, I sit back and I told my wife last night, I was spending time studying this other message and just going at it and really getting into it. And if you would see the paper with all the arrows and the circles and everything, you'd laugh. And I just stood up and I went in and I knelt down and it just maybe not even 5 minutes, I'm talking to her and I went, there's the message right there. Yeah. There it is. That's simple. If we're going to put our dependence on what man does or who will be sworn in next January, then church, we've got our priorities in the wrong place. Everybody is looking at one individual and saying, well, this individual is going to be the best hope for the United States of America, or this individual is going to be the best hope for the United States of America, or you got one guy that's just giving everything away for free. Just going to give the house away. Dear Lord, somebody's got to pay for it. You're not, yeah, I guarantee you, they're coming. I mean, when somebody is wanting to set up a 90% tax rate, that is absolutely the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Because, I mean, you might as well forget about an upper class, you might as well forget about a middle class. Everybody's going to be down here, and if you're not down here, you're going to be up here. You know, we see all the, and I watch these things, and people will call me every week and they'll say, well, did you hear about this latest poll that came out? You know what? I don't give a rip what the news media says, and I don't care about these polls for the simple fact they're going to take a segment of society, and the news media, let's be honest, is full of propaganda. They're going to tell people, they're going to put it out on the airwaves because they think if they can get somebody to believe that word, then that person will become discouraged and that person won't go out and let their voice be heard. Now, with that said, I believe that we do have a responsibility and we do have a duty to cast our vote. I believe that we should let our voices be heard. But you know, I've noticed that the church today is louder about politics than they are about Jesus Christ. A lot louder about politics than we are about Jesus Christ. You know, we'll talk about what Donald Trump is up to or what Hillary Clinton is up to or Bernie Sanders or Ted Cruz or some of these other folks. When is the last time that you and I were bold enough to tell somebody what Jesus Christ was up to? You know, we've got a document that was written by over 40 individuals over the course of 1,500 years. We've got everything that God ever gave to man right here. Everything that He has promised to you and I, everything that He said He would ever do, everything He said He was going to do, is right here in these pages. Why are we not standing up for this word and saying, "Let me, you know what, forget about what this person's doing and forget about what that person's doing. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done." You know, people are looking for a Savior in Washington. People are looking for a Savior in Charleston, West Virginia. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, and Pastor, I never saw this until last night. He said in the last days, false messiahs would rise. False prophet. What does a false prophet do? A false prophet lies. A false messiah makes promises of deliverance, makes promises of salvation, but guarantee can't keep those promises. You know, we have a president now that in 2008 was elected on a platform of hope and change. He was going to give everybody everything. You know, it wasn't even a couple months that his his popularity went down the hill because he realized once he got into that office, he couldn't keep those promises. You know what is amazing about that? You read Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 21. You know what it says? Meddle not with them who are given to change. Meddle not with those who say they're going to change everything. You know, man is like the oceans or the waves of the ocean. Man changes constantly. You know, the size of those waves that beat on those beaches, they'll go up, they'll go down. Tide will come in far, tide won't come in as far. But the fact of the matter is, man might change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same forever. So here's the thing. He said, He told us 2,000 years ago, He said, false Christ, He said, when somebody says, "Here is the Savior," or "There is the Savior," He says, "Do not believe Him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise. And they will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead." Mark said, "In order to lead astray." You know, Jesus made a statement at the beginning of Matthew 24. The first thing when His disciples asked Him that question, they said, "What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus said, "Take heed that you be not deceived." And He says, "For many will come in My name saying, 'I am Christ.'" Now, I've studied that out, and it can be translated that somebody would say, "I am of Christ. I am a Christian." You know, 86% of the American population today proclaims Christianity as their faith. But I wonder, out of 86%, how many truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ? How many truly love Him? How many are truly serving Him? You know, I'm to the point now, I am so sick of politics. I'm sick of the, you know, I'll be honest with you, and this might shock some of you. I don't care what happens in November. I don't care. Because when all said and done, whether it's 4 years or 8 years, whoever our next president is going to leave office. But we've got a Savior that's never going to leave office. We've got a Savior. The other night, I was here till 11 o'clock. I was here Thursday night till 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, I turned the lights out. At 11 o'clock, I adjusted the thermostat. At 11 o'clock, I shut the computer down. Shut everything down. Building was pitch black except for the lights out here in the foyer. But Jesus never leaves the office. He never leaves. You know, these individuals that people are putting all their hope in, they're not going to be able to call on that individual at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to be able to call on the next president or the next senator or the next representative or the next governor or the next mayor, whoever it may be. They're not going to be able to call on these individuals and say, "This is my problem." But you know what the beautiful thing is? That it doesn't matter what time of day. It doesn't matter what time of night. All I got to do is get down on my knees. I can walk around my house. I can fall on my face and say, "Jesus, here I am. I'm lost. I'm broken. I feel like that the world has crashed in around me, and I can't do a thing without You." And you know what? He doesn't say, "Please leave a message after the tone." You know what He says? "Son, I got you covered." Whew. He said, "I knew before you even asked." Let me read something to you. This is a quote from 1787 by a man by the name of Alexander Fraser Tytler. This is what he said in 1787. Now, I want to turn your listening ears on. Judge Judy says, "Joanne, help me. You got one mouth and two ears for a reason. This is what this man said in 1787. Are you ready for this? I should have typed this out and put the quote up on the board so you guys could read it. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. How old is the United States? We're a little over 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. That was written in 1787. You know, I think I remember, and you all have heard me quote it, I remember the writer of Ecclesiastes saying in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and chapter 3, verse 15, that which has been is that which shall be. You know, there's a verse, and I think it's in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and you read it, and it doesn't really, when you read it, whether it's a King James, New American Standard, whatever, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But when you get into the Amplified Bible, I think it's maybe verse 18, I'm not sure. But if you read this verse, it says that it talks about how the leadership, and I'm paraphrasing, but it talks about how the leadership will make merry and throw these parties and have these meals with wine and the best of the best. And it says that they depend on tax money. Amplified says they depend on tax money to pay for it all. Yeah. You know, people are looking and they're saying, well, this guy is going to give me more money. This guy's going to give me a free telephone. This guy's going to do this for me. This guy's going to do that for me. I have people all the time, well, what do you think Donald Trump is up to? What do you think Ted Cruz is up to? What do you think these individuals are up to? What do you think President Obama's next move is? Who cares? Who cares? Because when all's said and done, one of these days, these individuals are either going to be on the inside of a grave, right? Then the day's coming where these individuals, the haves and the have-nots, according to man's standard, the day's coming where every one of us is going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account. You know, we had just this week, our state legislature, both houses of our state legislature here in this state, voted to ban abortion after 20 weeks. An overwhelming majority of both sides voted to support that bill. You know what our governor did just a few days ago? He vetoed it. Vetoed it. Thank God on Friday, the state legislator overrode that veto. And now that cruel form of abortion is banned in this state. Now, thank God for that. Thank God for that. But these folks that vote for these things, the Supreme Court that affirmed, and I'm not even going to say it without saying quotes, gay marriage. They're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. And they're going to say, why, when you had a chance to stand up and do the right thing, why didn't you do it? You know, too many people are worried about positions of power. They're worried about being voted into an office. And again, the church is focused on that. We're worried about who the next president is going to be or who the next mayor is going to be. What's wrong with us? Why are we not preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm going to have to speed this up because I got a lot of material and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through all of it today. Listen to this. I want you to go with me real quickly to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to share something with you here in a little bit that I just learned this morning that's absolutely going to blow your mind. Luke chapter 17, verse number 26. Jesus is speaking about, the signs of the last days. And he says, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as it happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. Now, you know, we read that and we say, okay, so that's what somebody that doesn't know Scripture would look at those couple verses and say, well, that's all that was going on in the days of Lot and the days of Noah. You know, Jesus tells us that the day of His return is going to be similar. The things that are going on in this world are going to be similar to those two time periods in history. And those things were happening, of course. Those things absolutely were happening. But if you go back in the Old Testament and you look at what was going on during that day, it tells a whole different picture. Yes, they're busy about daily life. Marrying, giving in marriage, partying, living it up, not having a care in the world. How many people right now, today, how many people you and I know are not in the house of God this morning because the time change was too hard on them? Because Bethel Temple went back from a 2:30 service to a 10:30 service. And how many people, well, I've got a birthday party I got to go to today. Or I got a ball game I've got to go to this afternoon. You know, I drove past the football field over here yesterday, and I don't know what was going on. I think there was a lacrosse match or something. That stadium was packed for a lacrosse game. Packed. And you could hear him. I was walking Dr. Howe out to his car yesterday, and you could hear him shouting and cheering and just having it, just living it up. And I thought, what a thrill they think they're getting, and how they could feel if they would just get a dose, just a drop of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. From Noah to Lot, there are about 13 generations, and it goes over a period of a little over 530 years if you do the math. Now listen to this. This is what was going on in the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, 11, and 12. And I'm going to have them put these up here on the board instead of having you guys turn. There's a few words I want to point out to you. Now remember, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Are we ready for this? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil only continually. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. This is verse 11. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh was corrupted, had corrupted their way upon the earth. Now, I want to point out a few words. Now listen, this is in the days of Noah. Wickedness of man was great on the earth. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Now listen to this, the word wickedness here. The Hebrew word here that's used, and it's the same word that's used for wickedness and the word for evil in verse number 5. It means absolute in the most negative sense. Absolute. Absolute wickedness. Absolute evil. Corrupt in verses 11 and 12 means decay, and it means perverted. Society was decayed, and society was perverted in the days of Noah. Now, you ready for this one? Verse 11. This is the one that blew my mind this morning. The word violence means cruelty. It means to damage someone or something. It means injustice, and it also means unjust gain. This is what blew my mind about this. The word violence. You know, we think of violence. We know what in our mind what violence is, and it pretty well lines up with the Hebrew definition. The interesting thing is the Hebrew word that's used for violence. Anybody have any idea what that Hebrew word is? Any Hebrew scholars here? The Hebrew word for violence in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, you know what it is? Hamas. Does that name sound familiar to any of you? Who are some of the most violent people on the planet today? There's a group in the Middle East called Hamas. And Jesus said, my God in heaven, folks, if you're not listening before, you better listen now. He said, in the last days, it would be like it was in the days of Noah. And then you go back and you build this thing, line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You go back in the days of Noah, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that in the days of Noah, it was violent, and the word is used, Hamas. You think somebody's trying to get our attention? You think somebody is trying to wake the church up? The days of Lot, Genesis 13, 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. The word sinner here means guilty offenders against the Lord, guilty offenders against His word. You know, we know the biggie that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, but if you go in Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50, this is what the Bible says that Sodom was guilty of. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundance of food, careless ease, meaning they were lazy, idle. She did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I removed them when I saw it. Folks, everything that Jesus said about the last days, you go back in the book of Genesis and you look at those two time periods. For the first time in history, we're living in a generation right now that can say those two things, those two time periods, are lining up perfectly. And we're worried about who's going to be in Washington, D.C. If things continue, now listen, I'm not putting a date, I'm not setting dates or anything like that. But I will tell you that if this world continues going down the path that it's going, the next president may not finish his first term or her first term without the return of Jesus Christ happening first. Wouldn't that just be something? Wouldn't that be something? You know, we've seen what's happened in Chicago this week. We've seen what's happened in Ohio and in different places throughout this country. And you know, just because somebody doesn't agree with somebody, we're going to get violent. We're going to beat on somebody. I look at these news reports about these kids that are killing kids, babies killing other babies. You know, I don't know if you all know this, but there's a guy that lives here in Bridgeport that was just arrested in Wheeling, West Virginia, and already in 4 or 5 days they have recovered $921,000 of drug money. Right here in Bridgeport, had a drug ring going from Bridgeport to Wheeling into Ohio and Pennsylvania. They found $100,000 on his person. They found another $100,000 in one of his houses. They went to a storage locker and found another significant, over $500,000. And right now, the total amount of drug money that... Now, you got to think about this. This guy's raking in some serious coin. But who's it affecting out there? Who's it affecting on the streets? You know, the book of Revelation talks about sorceries being prominent in the last days. And you get into the Greek word for sorceries, it's the word pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy or pharmacist. What does a pharmacy and a pharmacist provide? Drugs. You mean to tell me that God's word said in the last days there would be a rampant spirit of drug abuse and drug use? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. It's affected. We got people in this sanctuary today that this kind of stuff has affected their families. There's people in here today, my family is still being affected by it. Still being affected by this stuff. Are we going to turn to man? Or are we going to turn to Jesus Christ? You know, we quote Joshua 24 all the time. We quote that all the time. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Are you really? Are you and your house really serving the Lord? Are you reading? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you studying? Are you coming to the church when the doors are open? You know, I know a lot of people. I've met a lot of people. You know, there's people out there. There's people I encounter every week on a bar stool that can quote Scripture like crazy. And they will tell the church what the church is doing wrong. I'll ask some of these folks, I'll say, well, are you supporting the church with tithes and offerings? They'll put fingers in their ears. They'll tell me what I'm doing wrong. But when I mention supporting a ministry, no, that's not for me. You're doing everything else wrong, but that doesn't... Dear God in heaven. You know, I've got a message I'm going to be sharing with you guys here very soon about tithing. I've put it off for like a year and a half. Why are people so afraid of their tithe? People think if I give that 10% that God's not going to bless, you know, that my whole financial, my budget for the month is messed up. You mean to tell me that you serve a God that number one requires it, that you think that if you will be obedient to Him that He's not going to take care of you? David said, I was young, and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen God's seed begging for bread. Don't you worry about that tenth, because if you will be faithful with that tenth, God will turn that thing around to a 90th, to a 110th, whatever the case may be. I didn't mean to get off on that, but I'm just trying to make a point. We are so consumed with things that are happening in the natural. We're so consumed with what is going to happen next week, with what's going to happen next month, with what's going to happen later on today. The only thing I know, folks, the only solace and the only hope I can give you is that Jesus Christ is still in control. He's in control right now. He's going to be in control of the service at 6 o'clock tonight. He's going to be in control of Monday morning. Beverly Patrick, he's already in control of what you're about to face on Wednesday. He's already in control of what I'm about to face on Thursday. I'm not worried one bit. Listen, I'm not worried for you because I know the God that you serve is a lot greater than anything and everything that's in this world that can come against you. And I know His Word says that by His stripes, you are healed. The church is looking for a man to bring them hope. Looking for a man to bring comfort. Looking for salvation in people. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, he said, there is salvation in no one else. There's salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans chapter 8 verse 24 tells us that hope that is seen is not real hope. You know, we look at things through natural eyes. This guy's going to be a great president. You don't know what that guy's going to do when he gets in office.
That's right.
But listen, like I told you a little bit ago, I can tell you what the kingdom of Jesus Christ is like because it's written in His Word. See, whoever gets elected in November, within 3 months, everything that they campaigned on is going to change. Everything is going to be different. But the kingdom of God is not going to change. The kingdom of God is going to keep on keeping on. His church is going to keep on keeping on. You know, they can take tax-exempt status away from the church. They can try to silence the voice of you and I. They can try to silence the name of Jesus in public. But the fact of the matter is, the church is going to keep on keeping on. It's going to keep right on going. You listen, Revelation 19, Jesus is coming back on a white horse. The Bible says He's got a white garment that's been dipped in blood. And He says, behind Him are the armies of heaven riding on white. Who shows up for battle wearing white? The one for whom the battle has already been won. You know, people said, well, what happened at the cross? What happened at the cross was victory. Victory was won at the cross. There's a day coming very soon. Very soon that victory is about to be enforced. We're not going to have to worry about another election. You know, the Bible tells us that you and I will be kings, a kingdom of priests before God. That we're going to rule over the nations right alongside of Him. That I told you a few weeks ago, they're going to be listening to me preach for 1,000 years. They're going to be listening to Him preach for 1,000 years, whether they want to or not. Because He says, I'm allowed to rule over a nation. That's His word. I'm going to make them all show up for church. If they don't, I'm going to pray for emeralds. For them, not me. 2 Corinthians 4:18, what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. 1 Corinthians 10:13, listen to this. This is the one we quote all the time, and it's one of the most misquoted verses in all of Scripture. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. I don't know what this country is going to look like in a year's time. I don't have a clue what this country is going to look like in a year's time. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that my Jesus Christ is always going to be there. I know He's going to be there. You know, we're worried about what's going to happen. You know, we listen to people, well, we're going to repeal this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. You know, for people, for just looking at things through the natural eyes, for the citizens of this country, the future doesn't look very good. It doesn't. Let's be honest, it doesn't look good. You know, let me sit down with me and let me tell you about our experience with the health insurance just this year. Let me talk to you about that one. But here's the thing, and I want you guys to get, if nothing is accomplished today other than building your faith in Jesus Christ, there's one other thing I want you to get in your minds. I want you to stop looking at an earthly kingdom, and I want you to stop looking towards the heavenly kingdom. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 in the Amplified Bible says, we are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, and the homeland which is in heaven. We are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. And from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, Amplified Bible. To the church assembly of the firstborn, who are registered as citizens in heaven. I've got documentation that proves that I was born here in the United States of America, that I was born here in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I've got documentation that allows me to drive. I've got documentation that allows me to vote. I've got a Social Security card. I've got all these different forms of identification. But you know something, folks? I'll be 100% honest with you. To know that my name... You think about that for a minute. You know, you can go to the courthouse and you can prove your existence. But not too many people on this planet can call can call the city clerk in heaven and say, is my name there? See, we can't call on the city clerk. But I've got faith. And I know who I serve. And I know that my name's recorded. I'm not worried about it. I don't doubt it. I hear people all the time that, I mean, there's people. There was one guy, I'm not going to name his name, but if you guys think about it, you'll remember who it was. There was one boy, his family owned a local business. It's still in business today. But every time there was an altar call, two services every Sunday, every Wednesday, when there was an altar call for salvation, that young man came and gave his heart to the Lord. Every week for 21 years. See, I wake up every day and I say, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that shouldn't be, forgive me. Wipe it away. I don't want anything to damage my relationship with Him. I don't want anything to damage my future. I pray that before I go to bed. I pray it during the day. Lord, protect my eyes, protect my ears, protect my hands, protect my feet. Keep me from anything and everything that the enemy would throw my way. I want to know. Listen, folks, I don't say that because I doubt. I am confidently assured of the fact that my name is registered in heaven. That you could call on Jesus right now and say, is Pastor Jamie there? And you can say, yep, my boy. My boy's registered. My son is registered here. My son is registered in heaven. I want to share something with you real quickly, and I'm going to finish with this. You know, people pay attention to candidates, and they pay attention to the platform that they provide. I bought this notebook back in 2007. We were pastoring out in Wallace. This message... This little outline that I've got right here, this is all that it is. This was written in probably March or April of 2008, right before the presidential election. People are worried about the platform of a candidate. They're worried about what this one's going to provide, what's that one is going to provide. I did a follow-up message called The Devil's Platform, how he would campaign for office. But the first message I did was campaigning for Christ. What is Jesus Christ's platform? Well, number one, he provides leadership experience. Revelation 19, 11 through 16, he's the commander-in-chief of the heavenly hosts. He can call on legions of angels. And faster than the speed of light, according to Ezekiel, God can show up. He provides leadership experience. He leads on a white horse. He doesn't lead in a bulletproof limo. He leads from a white horse. He is so bold. Are you ready for this? He is so bold that he doesn't have to proclaim his name on a seal. He's got a name on his vesture and written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, our Jesus. Number two, you ready for this? He's going to do it with big government. John 14, 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, listen, he's promised a platform of power and authority to his people. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Wipe out all the bureaucracy. Praise God, no more IRS. Hallelujah. No more Department of Homeland Security. No more FBI. Yeah, I worked there for 13 years in the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Whatever. Full-blown idiots. Just going to call a spade a spade. You know, when I left there, they made a cake for me. And I'll never forget this. They had a cake made for me, and it said FBI on it. But some of those people, I love them. Some of them I still talk to. There were some that they were hard to deal with. They didn't believe what I believe. But they put on this cake, they put FBI, top to bottom, and then out from it, they put firm believer in Jesus. Here's another thing that Jesus, this is how he campaigns. Another thing he says. He will keep all of his promises. There's not a candidate running for any office in America or around this world today that's going to keep every one of their promises. But Jesus tells us in his word that he's not a man that he should lie. He tells us in Titus that he cannot lie. And he tells us that by his oath and by his promise, two immutable things, it's impossible for him to lie. That's a good candidate. I mean, think about this. He's got leadership experience. He's going to wipe away big government. And he keeps all of his promises. Now, are you ready for this next one? He will grant true peace. The Bible tells us that in the last days, people will cry out, peace, peace, when in fact, there was no peace. The Bible also tells us that when they cry out peace in the last days, rest assured that destruction is coming. But Jesus tells us that in this world, we may have tribulation. But he says in him, we can be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. So if there's fighting and war and tribulation in this world, there's the peace that passes all understanding with Jesus Christ. That's a phenomenal candidate, folks. Are you ready for this one? He offers true change. Heaven and earth will pass away. John said, I saw the new Jerusalem. I saw the new heaven. And I saw the new earth. He tells us that, you know, in this world, there's going to be death, there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be pain. But he tells us there's a promise that the day's coming that there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. No more tears, for all tears have been wiped away. The former things have passed away, and behold, he makes all things new. Now, next one, he provides a better way of life for all. He eliminates racial, economic, and gender divides. There's no difference. In the eyes of Jesus Christ, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference between male and female. There's no difference between black and white. There's no difference between rich and poor, small and great, weak or strong. He also provides better housing. In his Father's house are many rooms, and those rooms are the size of a mansion. My house that my family and I live in right now would probably fit in this room at twice. You know, I got to share this with you. I'm so thankful for my house. I'm thankful for the home that God's blessed. It's simple. There's nothing fancy about it. It's home. I love having my wife and my children there with me. But there's a mansion that's all mine. I'd have to mail myself a letter to the living room. Better housing. He also says, listen, he also says that if you vote for him, if you choose him, there will be no more thirst and no more hunger. He provides the bread of life. He provides the fountain of the water of life that will never run dry. He says that his opponent will come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he's coming that we would have life more abundantly. Now, this is the last one, and I love this one. You ready for this? I wear it on my arm. He also provides or promises improved health care. You know, Jesus has his own insurance company. Did you know that? It's called Mutual of Calvary. You know what the tagline is? By my stripes, you are healed. Simply put, the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. There's not a sickness, there's not a disease that's not covered by his insurance. You don't have to worry about being denied coverage. All we've got to do is call upon that name. That name that is above every name. We're going to be worried about, or people are worried now about whose name is on that ballot, who's going to drop out, who's going to be running. The best choice that you could make is casting your vote for the I am that I am. Jesus made a statement, Luke chapter 18, verse 8. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Brother Howie, if you'll come back up to the keyboard, please. Will He find faith? Let's stand together. I don't want anybody holding back. You know, several months ago, our pastor and the first lady of this church, the original first lady of this church, showed up here unexpectedly on a Sunday morning, about caused my knees to buckle because I'd never preached in front of them before. Thought I did all right. I haven't heard otherwise. Didn't hear any complaints that day. Was able to do it again in May of last year, and was able to do it again today. Point I'm trying to make is sometimes when, and you guys are just, you're so important to me, you're so important to this church. But I know sometimes that when we get in the presence of special people, it's easy to hold back because, you know, what is somebody like that going to think? You know, listen, and I'm not trying to, these guys know I love them, but they dress themselves the same way that all of us do. You know, I watched a lot of people and I wonder how many people, you and I were talking about this the other day, how many people have walked away from God? You know, the people that you pastored for 21 and a half years, how many people that were here walked away from God because they were serving you rather than Him? And that should never be. Listen, to stand up and preach a message in front of them, this right here, is a little uncomfortable. But see, the thing is, folks, they serve the same Jesus that you and I serve. They call upon the same Jesus. Listen, for anybody to say that this is not real, I remember the phone call that I got from her when this man was laying in Baylor University Hospital, completely eaten up with staph infection. And I remember hearing the story. I remember her telling me. I remember him telling me that she prayed and she said, it's not your time. You're not going anywhere yet. I remember the story. See, I don't even know if you remember. You've told this story several times and I've never discussed it with you. But I remember here, when I was a little guy, I heard a story about this guy when he was a little boy. That his spine was in such bad shape that the back of his head was touching his heels. And I remember hearing the story that there were some ministers, some preachers that came in and prayed for him. And later they found out that the number of people that were in that room, there was one more that was there. And it was the same one that showed up in that fiery furnace. When they said, didn't we throw three in? He said, yeah, we threw three in. He said, you tell me why there's four. You tell me why there's four. See, some of you in here, I said all that to say this. Some of you in here, you're going through it. Whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's mentally. You're going through it. You want things to change in your life? Don't worry about Washington, D.C. You know, you do your civil duty. You vote for the candidate that you best feel will lead this country. But you be careful who you vote for, because I can show you in Leviticus chapter 20 where it says that if we hide our eyes away from the sin of someone, that will visit us. We got to be careful who we vote for, folks. But at the same token, doesn't make a difference what box you fill in. The best choice that any of you can choose is choosing Him. Beverly, I want you to come up here.